All right, everybody, welcome to New Life Church and welcome to the wackiest Sunday of the entire year. Yeah, and you made it. You made it. You are sitting next to people that are of the opposite team, but yet this is the beauty. The beauty is this. God's word says you have to love them. You're supposed to love your enemy, right? You're supposed to love your neighbor. And so this is a great challenge. It's a great challenge for some people, man. Some people are like, I don't believe it. I can't believe that person sat down next to the row from me. Like, I would never sit in a row with somebody with that kind of jersey on. And it was the whole reason for this whole day is just to expose what spiritual fruit you don't have. And it's a very encouraging day. You're going to find out you have no patience. You're going to find out you have no joy for others wearing certain jerseys. And other people are going to be like, please, sir, sit down. At the Kearney campus, we have a man wearing a hockey jersey that's not allowed at this church. I just want to make sure at all campuses that you know, right? Hey, by the way, like I think last year there was only two hockey jerseys in the entire Kearney campus, and I have no idea what was at North Platte or Ogallala. And I want to say that this year so far, I've counted four, and I just want to say to you, that's spiritual discipleship. At work, as your hockey pastor, okay, I just wanted to make sure that everybody knew that. But no, man, guys, welcome to Jersey Sunday. Today is actually just a fun twist on a Sunday. Why not have some fun at church? Amen? I just think that, look, being a Christian, you should laugh a lot. Being a Christian, you should have fun. Being a Christian should be a joy. It should be a blast. Does it mean that life's going to be easy? No, it doesn't mean that. Does it mean that everything in life is going to go exactly the way you want it to go? No, that's not what it means. In fact, many times it's just the opposite. Following Jesus in most parts of the world comes with some level of persecution. Here in America, we don't feel that right now. But in most places of the world, when they tell them you want to follow Jesus, they know there's just a cost that they have to pick up. Today, guys, we get a chance to be in America, in a place where it's still free to worship and express our religion and to say without doubt and to say with boldness in our lives that Jesus Christ is Lord. And can I say it this way? Jesus Christ is the captain of his team. Amen? Amen? And I don't know about you, but how many guys would say that you are on Team Jesus right now? Come on, let me hear you right now. I'm on Team Jesus. Yeah, I'm excited about that. But I know that there's many people that are not on Team Jesus today, and that's why we're doing a Sunday just like this. So it's Super Bowl Sunday. Today, one team is going to win, the Chiefs, and the other team is going to lose. I didn't mean to say that. It kind of snuck out. Actually, my as you can tell, my wife, I showed you a picture before a few weeks back of my wife wearing all of her Chiefs gear. So my wife's a big Chiefs fan, and so she told me if I didn't say that, I wasn't eating lunch. So, I can't show up to the Super Bowl party. So I just wanted to like make sure everything was good there. But today, seriously, like one team is going to win, the other team is going to be the runner-up. And think about this: like they're at the pinnacle of their sport. It doesn't get any higher than this. For their sport, right? For the National Football League. Just think about like their career, like playing football in a little peewee league, right? Where it was just like a bunch of like little kids all chasing one ball. Yeah, there's just like a dirt pile just going around. And then they went from that to high school, and they went from high school and they got a position at a college, and then they went from college and they got drafted. And then when they got drafted onto a team, then they had to really show their stuff and they had to push hard and they had to get themselves to be able to be playing today. Like that's amazing. And even for many of you, how many guys actually played any kind of sport growing up as a kid or through school or anything like that? If you didn't do that, then you won't know what I'm getting ready to tell you, but you've heard this because maybe some of your kids have gone through this as well. But man, I remember going out for tryouts, going out for the baseball team or going out for the football team or going out for the wrestling team or going out for the golf team. Those were all sports that I enjoyed. And I remember going out for that team, and then there was a certain moment, like Thursday or Friday at 2 o'clock, it's going to be posted on the coach's door. Here's the roster of everybody that made the team. Okay, and if you've ever had that moment and you thought maybe you were on the cut line and you walked down to that door and your heart's pounding, and you're like, is my name on the list? And when your name was on the list, there was like this little bit of like on the inside, like, yes, but you didn't want to celebrate too hard because you didn't know the person next to you, their name was on the list, and so you kind of walked away, and then you found your tribe. your tribe now became those who had been selected to be on the team. And it really felt good to be selected to be on the team. But it's devastating if you gave it your all and then you weren't put on the team. Okay, and so I knew what it was like to get onto the wrestling team and to get onto the football team and, you know, be on the baseball team. I knew those things. But, man, one day I decided I'm going to be on the golf team. Now, my school didn't have a hockey team, or I would have gone out for the hockey team. I'm not saying I would have made it, right? But, man, I can throw some elbows with the best of them. I can slash with the best of them, right? I can hook, right? I can drop my gloves from time to time, all right? I can do that. I know you see me as your pastor, but I'm just telling you, like, I if I was out there, I could do that. But I'm just saying, like, I went for the golf team, and I get out there. My dad's a big golfer. My grandfather was a big golfer. I kind of liked to golf, and I went out for that golf team, and I didn't make that team. And when that list was posted on the door, I went to it, and my name wasn't there. I remember that feeling. I remember that feeling of being dejected, rejected, kind of like, well, great, man. You know, like, that's awesome. Like, here I am. This is my first thing I went out for that I didn't make. But I'll tell you what, it paid off. It paid off in the long run, because then later on, as I have my own children and my own kids go out for sports, I remember my youngest daughter going out for the volleyball team, okay? And can I just say this to you? She's a great athlete, okay, but she's got one thing against her. She's got a height challenge and a vertical leap challenge, okay? And to get her hands above the net takes a lot more than some others to get up and get their hands above the net, if you're following me, right? And so she didn't make the team. I remember how devastating that was. And now as a dad, I've got to console her, right? And I've got to make sure I don't throw the coach under the bus as well. You can't go up to your kid and you'd be like, you were the best player out there. I can't believe that jerk coach. You can't do that. And if you have done that, stop. That's not healthy for anybody. That's not how you handle those situations, all right? You got to have compassion and openness and honesty. You got to come alongside and meet her where she's at. And so we did all of that. But then I look at some people and they don't even try out for sports teams. They don't even try out. Here's the reason why. They disqualify themselves before they ever go out for the team. And they say things like, I'm not tall enough, or I'm not fast enough, or I'm not good enough. I'm not skilled enough. I'm not fit enough. We have a bunch of people that have never gone out for a sports team because they disqualified themselves before they ever gave it a shot. You understand what I'm talking about? Of course. There's people like that all over the place. I could have been. I should have been. But they never did. Who knows how much hidden talent there is that's wrapped up in personal disqualification? And I think a lot of people, if I can turn the tables for a moment, I can say this, that I think a lot of people feel this way towards God. A lot of people do. A lot of people think, I'm not holy enough. I'm not good enough, right? Or I'm not consistent enough, right? And God would never let me on his team. Or they say things like, I've got enough rejection in my life. I don't need more rejection from God. So there's a lot of people that feel this way today, maybe even sitting here listening to me at one of our campuses or online today or here at our Kearney campus, or you're watching this somewhere in the future and you're saying to yourself, like, I just don't think I qualify to be on God's team. I just want you to know today, this is one guy who can honestly say, I get it. Like, I remember that. I remember in my life when I felt like I'm not good enough, I'm not holy enough, I'm not spiritual enough, I'm not consistent enough. In fact, it was that last one that really got me. I'm not consistent enough. As I would try to do what I thought God was wanting me to do, and I kept failing, and I failed day after day, and I kept getting back up, I'm just going to tell you right now, when all the weight of spirituality rests on your shoulders, where you got to do all the work and you got to do everything to please God, eventually that weight becomes too great. And eventually you succumb to it. And eventually you get to a place where you just simply say, I'm not consistent enough. There's nothing I can do for you, God. And you walk off to do your own thing. I know what that feels like. And until somebody came along and they said to me, Jeff, did you realize that Jesus created you for his team? Do you realize that? That Jesus created me for his team. Guys, the day that I discovered, the day my eyes were opened up and I started to realize for the very first time that Jesus created me for his team, What? Yeah, with all of my failure? Yes, with all of the things I don't get right. Yes, with all of the things that he's still working on in my life, that Jesus is my coach and he created me for his team. And today, that's what I want to help you understand. Today, man, if there's one thing I can drive into your heart today is I want to back up everything, all right? And I want to unpack it all, and I want to pull everything back, and I want to get down to this one simple statement for you, that Jesus created you for his team. That's right. Jesus created you for his team. Yeah, you, right where you are right now. But a lot of people, they just don't see the potential. They can't see it in themselves. I want you to think about it. Think about this illustration with me. You got a 7-foot-tall young adult that's going to college here in Nebraska, okay? And, I mean, you see this person, and they go and they work out on their own, and, man, they shoot like old-school Larry Bird. Does anybody even remember that guy at all? Yeah. Come on. And they can slam dunk the ball like Michael Jordan. Right, and you're just sitting there, and you watch them, and you watch this like young adult, and they're just in the gym, and they're just doing their thing, and people are trying to tell them, like, man, you're amazing, you're incredible, but they don't see it. Can you imagine someone like that who never went on to play professionally, who could shoot like Larry Bird and slam dunk like Michael Jordan, but they never went on to play? It would be a waste. And the whole reason why they never got into college ball, the whole reason why they never went on to professional ball is because when they thought about themselves, all they saw was their own failures and never saw their greatness. Wouldn't that be an unwasted talent? With a person that could dribble like that, shoot like that, dunk like that, but they never went on to do anything great? It would be a waste. And if the person said, why didn't you? And they go, I just didn't see it. Like, I saw my failures. I saw all my faults. I saw all the things I screwed up. See, the majority of humanity, this is the same thing for everybody. It's the same thing for the majority of humanity. Look, God created you with amazing gifts. God created you for his team, but unfortunately, many people can't see it. But if you want to see the potential that you have, if you want to see who God really made you to be, then you first have to start doing one simple thing. You first have to start saying, I believe that God is good. That's where it has to start. It all starts there. I believe God is good. And if you can get to a point where you're willing to entertain the idea that God is good, then all of a sudden there's something amazing. When you start believing God is good, you can start hearing the voice of the coach. And the coach starts to tell you how amazing you really are. The coach starts to tell you how qualified you are. But until you get to the point where you can actually say, I believe that God is good, you can't see your own potential. This is what 2 Corinthians 4:4 says about it. It says this, Satan, who is the god of this world, or can I just say this, right? Your opposition, the team you're playing against, if you can put it that way. Satan, who is the god of this world, he has what? He's blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. There's something about believing. There's something about just allowing your heart today to say, God, I believe you are good. Now, when you start at that spot, right, when you start there, it takes a lot. It takes a lot to say, I believe God is good. Because you look at your life and you go, I've gone through all this pain, I've gone through all this suffering. I see the world. I see all the crazy and chaos that's going on around the world. I know I get that. I can't solve all of that, and neither can you. But can you just for a moment with me entertain an idea that potentially, possibly, God is good? And when you start to believe that God is good, then all of a sudden you can start to see that God created you for his team. But man, if God's not good, why would you want to be on that team anyways? Right? So why would you want to be there? And there's a lot of people in this world that are going to try to tell you, they're going to try to whisper into your ear and tell you God's not good. They're going to try to tell you God's not worth it. They're going to try to tell you that's just a sham. That's a waste of your time. Like, don't even go there. You're going to look at maybe other adults that have been in your life. You're going to look at other, you know, figureheads that have been in your life. And I'm going to tell you right now, don't let the opinion of someone else, the way that they see God, affect your ability to believe that God is good. It's not worth it. Think of guys like Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner was a quarterback of the St. Louis Rams when St. Louis had a team, and St. Louis doesn't have a team anymore, right? And that's okay. I'm from there. They probably don't deserve it. All right? It's all right. I grew up there. I know what that town's like. We're a baseball town. We're a hockey town. It's okay. So Kurt Warner, though, he got onto the team, and he led the team to a Super Bowl in 2000, guys. But check this out. He was not drafted. When he had the opportunity to be drafted in 1994, no one picked him up. 1994 to 2000, we're talking 6 years. In 1994, there was no team that picked him up. Nobody drafted him. Wow. So then all of a sudden, after the draft's over, the Green Bay Packers, they go, hey, Kurt, why don't you come out to our training camp? So he comes out to the training camp, and he does some stuff with them, and he doesn't even perform well enough to even get a job there as well. So then he ends up doing what many of you guys know the story, because I think a movie was made, right? That he goes and he starts stocking like grocery store shelves and playing arena football. Let me tell you, arena football, like Kearney had an arena football team for a while. Okay, so it's a low level, you know, of playing sports at some capacity. You're hardly probably getting paid anything at all. It's a whole different style of a game. But then all of a sudden, the St. Louis Rams were desperate and they needed somebody. And they found this highlight reel of Kurt Warner and they said, maybe he can do it. So they brought him and he tried out and he made the team. And when he made the team, man, he realized, okay, I got to fight for this. And he kept fighting. And he made himself, like he got to the number one spot. He was the number one quarterback. And he led the team to its Super Bowl in 2000. Kurt Warner went on to get the MVP award, right? For that year, he got the MVP award for another year as well. In fact, Kurt Warner is now considered the NFL's greatest undrafted player of all time. Of all time. The greatest undrafted player. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Like, if Kurt Warner would have believed what other people were telling him, he never would have played for the Rams, never would have led them to a Super Bowl. He would always, for the rest of his life, said, as he sat in the stands and he watched NFL games, I think I could have done that. I'm telling you today, man, don't let someone else's opinion of God keep you from God. Don't let someone else's failures who said that they loved God keep you from knowing a good God. Don't let someone else who claimed, right, that I love God but they harmed you, don't let people like that keep you from a good God. We live around people that are going to hurt people. We all can hurt one another. So don't let that happen. Don't reject God because someone else, you know, said that God's not good. And don't let another human being tell you, right, that God doesn't love you and God doesn't want you and that God didn't create you for anything amazing. I'm here to tell you today that God created you for his team and God is good. Amen? Come on, I'm here to tell you that today. But guys, there's another reason that God created you for his team. And that's this, because God's team can help you be your best. It can help you be your best. I mean, just think about this with me. No one's ever been called the greatest player ever of any sport that didn't serve on a team. You have to serve on a team to end up becoming one of the greatest players of any sport. It means this. You can't sit on the couch. Okay, you can't sit on the couch and watch the sport and then at the end of the season become the MVP of the league. Doesn't happen. And by the way, you can't go to the backyard and just get your glove out and throw the baseball back and forth and get a bat and just kind of take some whacks at the ball in your backyard, right? And ever become a person that's considered for the Baseball Hall of Fame. Like, you have to have been a part of a team. Here's another thing about this whole thing that God brought. He made this team to help you be your best. That no one's ever become the best without a coach or continuing to be coached. Nobody, like no great player, single player, has ever become the greatest in their sport without a coach and continuing to be coached. Even professionals still use coaches. So let me ask you this question. Why do we think that we can be the best human being on this earth by avoiding God's team? Why? Why do we think that? Why do we say, be a professional sports athlete, you have to be on a team and you have to have a coach, you have to have some accountability, you have to have somebody that can push you. But when it comes to being the best that God created me to be, why do we think we can do that outside of being on God's team? But you see, it doesn't make any rational sense when you think of it that way. I've heard a lot of people say, I don't need God. I can just be a good person on my own. Or I can just pray and read the Bible on my own. Like, I don't need community with Christians. I don't need a local church to belong to. And they will even say this, like, I don't need a pastor. I can spiritually coach myself to greatness. Well, even the Kansas City Chiefs today and the San Francisco 49ers, guess what they all still have? Coaches. Guess where the camera will be often today? On the coach. Often the camera will go to the coach and get the expression of the coach and try to see what is the coach saying. And unfortunately, you will read some things out of the coach's lips that you don't want to read today. But they'll go to the coach all the time. Why? Because the coach is important. And all athletes, all great athletes know this spiritual truth in Proverbs 19:20. Says this, get all the advice and instruction that you can so you'll be wise, what? The rest of your life. Get all that you can. See, God created a team for you to belong to so that you and me, we can be our best. So that you can be more fulfilled. So that you can have fewer regrets. So that you can find purpose. So that you can find true joy. So that you can find contentment. And so that you can live a life that actually honors God. What do we have to do? We have to be on the team. We got to be a part of spiritual community with other believers like this. Why? So that we can get the most advice and the most instruction that we can. So that, like Proverbs 19:20 says, so that we can be the best. We can be the wisest for the rest of our life. So we can accomplish what God put us on this earth to do. Why did God invite you to his team? So that you could be at your very best, church. So I think it demands the next question. How do you get on the team? How do you get on the team? Well, first off, can I just say this to you? Jesus drafted you in round one. Did you know that you're a first round draft pick? You're not a second round draft pick. You're not a third round. You didn't get overlooked like Kurt Warner did. You are a first round draft pick. Guess what that means? That means this, you are given the opportunity to say yes or no right now. What are you going to do? Are you going to say yes to Jesus? And here's the other thing I want you to know about Jesus, like getting on his team. Some people think that Jesus is sitting in heaven scrolling through all of their past game tapes and going, oh, well, they screwed up on that weekend. Oh, look at this. And he's like, they're going all the way back. Some of you guys think that Jesus is back there looking at when you were 13 years old going, ah, they screwed up on that one. And for some reason that he's looking at all of the past tapes of your life and he's thinking to himself like, okay, maybe I did make a mistake on one person. That's not happening. God's not doing that. And thank God for that. Thank God, right, that God's not reviewing all the tapes of my life and telling me how much of a loser that I am. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if that's what it took to get into heaven, I would never make it. And neither would you. So that's not who God is. The Bible says that Jesus came and he died for you when you were at your worst. When Jeff Baker was at his worst, Jesus came and he died for me. When you were at your worst, Jesus came and he died for you. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, one of my favorites, says that but God showed his great love to us, to you, by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Yeah, that month of your life, that 6 months of your life, that day when you threw the most interceptions you've ever thrown, that period of time in your life where you fumbled the ball the most, that weekend of your life where you played the worst game ever, here's what Jesus said. I still want you. I still want you. Yeah, but did you see all those interceptions and fumbles? And I played the worst game ever. And Jesus is going, I drafted you though. I created you for my team. And I still want you. I've not changed my mind. Come on. Jump out of the stands. Get into the game. I got a position just for you. You guys know one of the most famous verses of the entire Bible? It's called John 3:16. It starts out like this. I'm going to let you end it with the last word. For God so loved the... Oh, you do know it. I'm so proud of you. Come on, high five the person next to you and go, good job on that one, man. Come on. Good job on that one. For God so loved the world. He loved the world. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to somebody, all right? And I'm gonna have you say three things to them, okay? So I want you to turn to somebody. I want you to say this to them. God loves you. All right? Now look, now here we go. We're going to make it a little tougher. God loves me. But you're saying it to them, right? Okay? That's why it gets tougher, because that's weird. God loves me. And don't say to them, are you sure? Like, don't do that. So, God loves you. God loves me. Now, last thing I want you to tell them is this. God loves the people I don't like. All right, so God loves you. That's hard enough by itself. God loves me. Whew, that takes it to a whole nother level. Right? But God loves the people I don't like. I'm here to tell you today, guys, that God loves everyone. Everyone, including you today. What would it take to be on his team? You have to believe in your heart. You have to believe in your heart that God created you for his team. And then you have to surrender to Christ. And you have to say, I want to be on your team. That's what Romans 10:9 says. It says this, that if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Do you guys realize that that's what Jesus is looking for? Just believe in your heart. Confess our sins. Like, God, I'm not good enough to be on your team. But yet I know that you've invited me onto your team. So I surrender to you. Have your way. Have your way in my life. Guys, did you realize that every time someone surrenders their life to Jesus, that Jesus celebrates that? Jesus is like, yes! Man, that's awesome, because I put you on the first round draft pick and you said, yes, I'm going to get my dream team. That Jesus is like a coach and he's going, I get my dream team. This is fantastic. Did you realize that's what Jesus told us in Luke chapter 15, that all of heaven celebrates when one person says yes to Jesus and joins his team? All of heaven celebrates that? That's amazing to me. So think about this. This is how important you are. Okay, if you are a follower of Jesus and you're already on his team, here's what I want you to know. All of heaven celebrated over you one day. Let me tell you what heaven's not celebrating. Heaven's not celebrating who got elected to be the president or who's going to be the president. Heaven doesn't celebrate that. Heaven didn't even celebrate when World War II was won. Nope. Heaven didn't celebrate when, you know, someone, you know, figured out how to feed more people. Nope. Heaven didn't celebrate about that either. Heaven didn't celebrate when we landed a man on the moon, by the way. Heaven didn't celebrate when we sent, you know, all these drones and, you know, different satellites to Mars. Heaven didn't celebrate that. Heaven hasn't celebrated any of our achievements or any of our advancements. Heaven only celebrates one thing, and it will celebrate it today. If one of you says, I want to be on Team Jesus, all of heaven celebrates on a moment like that. That's how important you are today. That's how Jesus sees you. So I want you to stand with me today. I want you to stand with me. I'm just going to invite you today just to bow your head and close your eyes just in a reverence to God today. And I want you to contemplate with me right now. I want you to think with me. Like, are you on Team Jesus or are you not on Team Jesus? Do you belong to him? Is he the captain of your life? Is he the coach of your life? Or are you kind of just doing your own thing right now? Did you realize that you were so important that all of heaven wants to celebrate over you? Did you realize that you were drafted in the first round and that God has an amazing, incredible plan for you? Did you realize that while you've made your greatest failures and your most fumbles and your most interceptions, that Jesus said, I still want them. I still call them mine. Like, they still belong to me. Did you realize that? And today, if you're not on Team Jesus, then what are you going to do about it? The Bible told you that all it takes is to believe in your heart. Believe in your heart that Jesus was once dead and rose again from the grave. And to say, God, I'm a sinner. And would you save me? I want to be on your team. The Bible says that's where it starts. It doesn't end there, but it starts there. I'm just going to invite at all of our campuses, I'm going to invite our campus pastor to the stage right now. And while we're in an attitude of, you know, just humbleness and humility before God, I just want to ask one simple question today. Who's here today that wants to say, I need to be on Team Jesus? I'm not on Team Jesus, but Jesus died for me. He gave up his life for me. I want him to be my coach. I want him to be my leader. I want him to be my Lord. And I just invited the campus pastors up for this one moment just to help me at all campuses. If that's you today, with all heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you're going, I need to be on Team Jesus, would you just put your hand up for me and just hold it up? Just put your hand up and hold it up. Right, I see hands here, right here in the Kearney campus. Just hold it up. Right, come on, just keep it there. I see them in the loft. Right, I see hands down here on the lower level. Come on, at all campuses right now. It's not a moment to be ashamed. Like, this is the moment to say, yes, Jesus, I'm all yours. I'm all in right now. Okay. All right, now look, you can put your hands down. Can I just get everybody to do this with me? Can we just pray this simple prayer that Jesus talked about? Can we just pray this to him? And can all of us at all campuses, can you join in with me just repeating this after me? All right, just say this simple prayer with me. Jesus, I come to you today broken. And I need you. Thank you for choosing me. And today I say yes to you. I believe in my heart that they crucified you and they put you in a tomb, but you rose again, and that you are alive today. I choose to follow you. Forgive me of my sins and be my leader, my Lord, and my coach from this day on. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, for those who said yes to Jesus today, here at the Kearney campus, North Platte, Ogallala, and online, what is heaven doing right now? Heaven is celebrating. So come on, let's join with them. Come on. Come on. Lift it up. Lift it up.